Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874, and you can also access this show. And if you missed last week's show, access it through KXORadio.com. It was a really good show.
That was an order, huh? That was a directive.
It was a really good show.
All right. Good morning. Mario Espinoza, our executive producer, like the George Martin of executive producers, has just informed us that anything inadvertently lame or off topic that we say this morning won't be included in the podcast. So training wheels off, people. We can say whatever we want now, and we'll still come out cool in the podcast, which is amazing. So we thank our producer for that wonderful
yes.
feat.
Thank you.
Prestidigitation.
For making us sound professional, knowing what we're doing.
It's magic. We're here today with Julio Camargo. Julio is an MFT intern. He works as a therapist, counselor, clinician guy over at Behavioral Health. He's worked with a variety of different, I've lost track. Where did you start? Where have you been? You've been around the block.
In a good way.
Sir, good morning.
In a good way.
Good morning. And thanks for asking the most difficult questions for me to remember, because I can't.
It's been hard for you too, isn't it? You were in Children's.
I was in Children's for the longest time.
And you did a stint at the McNeese Receiving Home.
I did the McNeese Receiving Home and started at the PACT program, working with families of children.
Before it was unpacked.
Yeah.
Before it was unpacked, yeah.
Okay. Parents and children together.
Together, yeah. It was a really cool program. So I started there, then the Receiving Home, and doing some TFCBT for another team.
Too fine CBT, that is. TF, too fine.
Too fine,
trauma-focused CBT.
Trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. While I was still at the Receiving Home, and then ultimately ended up at a totally different direction with adults, no longer working with children. And I'm loving it because I've had every side of the spectrum, mm-hmm. so it's really neat. I've
overall,
been pretty lucky
getting,
in that sense.
Yeah, you're getting an overall experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
Populations.
You really haven't tried all the flavors of ice cream until you come on over to the alcohol and drug
that's
ice cream,
true.
Ice cream
that's,
store.
That's the one place that I haven't been to. So
we'll hold a couple of flavors for you.
I have to be careful what I wish for because then it just...
No, we love it. You know what? It's interesting because there's always this kind of trepidation about, ooh, well, these are my favorite people, but I don't know if I'm going to work with them. Mm-hmm. And you get over there and you realize, no, it's actually the same people.
Yeah.
It's no different. And
it's the same people that you have.
And I think for me the beauty of it is that all of these people are at some level struggling to find their way through life and to find meaning and a sense of awe and a sense of beauty in who they are and what they're doing. And when you see that over and over and over again, it's like, hey, they're paying me for this? This is so cool.
Yeah.
You appreciate that,
yeah.
Yay. So, all right, Julio, what you doing? What are you doing here, and what are we talking about?
Well,
how's that for an easy question?
I was
softball.
Driving in my car, and I just happened to see your car parked outside, and I figured, I'm just going to stop by, chit-chat for a little while,
Did the sign under the windshield that said, help, radio guest needed?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm here to talk about clinical practices for older adults. I think it's a topic that we don't necessarily touch on.
Older's like 23,
yes, exactly.
23, right?
So what, yeah.
Okay,
older
adults meaning 65 and up.
Oh, I was going to say pointing at Scott.
Yeah. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Yeah, so that's what I'm here for. Yeah, okay. 65 and up.
65 and up.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's you consider it as an older adult?
Right. Well, the Social Security Administration mm-hmm. does. Social Security Administration considers 66, and by 2017, it's supposed to be 67. So
talk about moving the bar.
Yeah.
I see my mom's in that age already.
Old because by the time I'm that old, they'll move it up higher and all that stuff.
I know. By the time I get, it'll be 80.
And there'll be an operation I can get to make it all work.
Because by then, we're supposed to live up to 120 average, right? I guess something like that.
Great.
With the expectancy of life nowadays.
I'm going to need to have a larger credit card limit.
Yeah.
To make it that far.
And retirement. Better retirement.
Mm-hmm. Retirement? What's that? Oh, that thing they used to have back like in the 1990s or whatever. I remember that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so 65 and older.
I just wish we have health care still.
That too. One of those imaginary things we used to have. Okay, so 65, first of all, I think whenever you start to talk about separating people into age chunks, you have to start with development.
Sure.
So let's start with development. You know, what do 65-year-olds have going on that, I don't know, 59-year-olds don't?
And this is an important topic because we all have parents. Most of, you know, if we're still lucky to have our parents, we have them, and if they're not at that age, they will be at that age. So it's good to know.
Yeah.
And get information.
And us too, perhaps.
And us too, also. Yeah.
Well, like you mentioned just, you know, a couple minutes ago, the retirement age. That being a crucial moment at which, you know, people that maybe at some point had been living with families move on as a couple or as individuals. It's, you know, when talking about clinical practices, it's really impossible to continue talking about it without talking about numbers, about stats. I think that more than in any other population plays such a big role because that defines really what your approach to a scenario is going to be.
So the winding down of career.
Exactly. Yeah. And when I mention about what I mention and refer to about stats is that, for example, at 65, like I mentioned, you may have a couple moving away, right? Or the kids, you know, moving along with their lives. And by then, definitely, at least most likely, you know, couples,
you know,
living
on
their own.
65-year-olds grew up in the hippie days of the 60s. Maybe there's some of them living on communes and, like,
yeah,
large group relationship stuff.
You know, and that's another point also, that most people in this age group live by themselves. So it's really
so
tough.
So it isn't communes.
Well, I'm sure there are
old folks.
There
well, it's a retirement. The retirement.
But that's a good point. And really it is because how do you get to those people and how do you know, how can you account for those people that just remain sort of in the shadows and don't necessarily come forward if they have an issue with depression or anxiety or trauma, which is still coming about with people at that age, you know, surprisingly. People, even at that age, as resilient as we think they sometimes might be, we see, you know, I've seen a few of them and continue to in my practice. So there comes a point, and I'm not saying that, you know, everybody, it's important to point out that word generalizing. There's no such thing as generalizing, right?
Yeah, but we're kind of feeling around the edges of it here.
Yeah, so.
Who are these people?
But those are two very important points. You know, by 65, there's all these changes that most likely have already happened. And it's at that age that you start seeing some of these problems coming about.
So there's there's career elements. Career's going to drop off at some level, typically. And then there's typically relationship elements because whether you're losing your coworkers at work, which would be something, or your partner, which would be something else, or your group of friends as they move away fade away or whatever.
Exactly.
They do, there's going to be some relationship changes. Yeah. And you might be, as you suggest, if there are a lot of single 65-plus people hanging out there, you might be on your own little island.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without even Skype, because you're old and you never learned how to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like that internet couple, I thought it was really cute. Did you see that?
No.
That streaming video online.
I don't have time for this
older couple trying to figure out a video cam online.
Oh,
did you see it?
I did not look at it, but I saw
it. It became an internet sensation.
The two old people staring at the computer
screen.
Not
knowing what to do and making all these funny faces. I thought it was great. But anyways, for example, now that we're talking about those people that we can't account for, another important thing to consider is that women outliving men.
As he looks at Maria.
It used to be the opposite.
Sort of. But the
well,
life,
because of childbearing, you know, back then,
that's true.
You know, the medical women.
So your average age was kicked back because of
men
the dangers of childbirth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Men back in the early 1900s, they would have several wives because they would die in childbirth.
Yeah. Well, and to give you a perfect, example, I got some numbers here just to give you an idea of how life expectancy was exactly in the 1900s. Between 1900 and 2000, the average life expectancy in the U.S., this is according to U.S. Census Bureau information from 2003.
And they're
2003.
Never ever wrong, so
they keep track.
To the point, right? So,
yep.
Life expectancy in the U.S. rose from 46 to 74 years for men and from 49 to 80 for women. So,
wow.
Definitely, that's, you know, just in the last, in one century.
Yeah.
It's like a 25-30% increase in life expectancy.
It's like a computer with more gigs or something.
We could put it like that.
See?
Sure. So you definitely have
a change
in life expectancy.
And do they think that number is going to continue to extrapolate out like that?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, it's by the year 2030, it's supposed to increase an even further 20%.
So I'm doing the math to see if I'm actually still going to be here in 2030. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe. I am.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. If I don't have other plans. I have to check my calendar. Julio Camargo's here with us. This is Let's Talk About It. 337-8874 is the phone number. I'll say it slower. 337-8874 is the phone number. Give us a call. Say good morning. Talk to Julio.
Mm-hmm.
So, Julio, we have this age group. And you know what the other thing is that there's a lot of these people because this is like boomer people,
is that
right?
Growing? Is that population growing, that age group growing?
Yeah. Well, definitely. For example, I have some numbers here, but another example regarding the population that we have right now, I think it's at 14% of our population is 65 and older.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some numbers here that I can't seem to find, but that's typically the case when you're looking for something, right?
On the radio, every single time.
But for example, of out of every 100,000 people in the U.S.,
yes.
65 and older, there are 70 men for every 100 women. So there's a lot more women
bodes well
than there are men.
Age. Yeah.
You know what?
Which brings another point.
Again, that age group, we're still competing against each other as women for men.
For partners.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? If I'm like an 80-year-old...
And that continues.
I don't want to just like point this out here. For, you know, the whole cougar thing, too, is if I'm an 80-year-old man, there's no reason I have to stick to my age group. Huh. Right? I can dye my mustache and put my hair back and cut the mullet off. Ooh, yeah. I've still had a mullet. I'm sorry. Okay, so you've got this population, and it's a large population, and they have some significant changes going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to help them manage this experience and just make the most of it, or?
Well, I don't know if it's making the most of it, but rather trying to figure out whether it's affecting their lives in any of the important areas of life functioning.
Okay.
That we know as, you know, activities of daily living, social, interpersonal, at some points even still with work or educational areas. So those are the areas that we want to know whether it's having an impact on. Another point, you know, that's important to bring out is that a lot of these people, because of the experience that they've had, don't necessarily present these problems, or at least they're able to manage them very well. So we don't necessarily have, and you know, that's kind of a misconception that exists that with older age, comes depression, mm-hmm. and it doesn't necessarily happen like that.
We made it to 7:57 before we mentioned depression. High five, everybody.
Ah. That's true.
We're trying not to be depressing this morning. So.
So that's all I'm going to mention about depression, by the way. So don't expect much
but,
more
But I think your point's well taken, is that if you define something as normal, and then somebody says, hey, do you have any problems? And I'm like looking in my head, and all I see is normal, even if it's mm-hmm. impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I say, no, I got no problems. I'm good. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's a very good point. I mean, imagine we haven't had, and yes, we live very difficult financial times, but, you know, we haven't had a financial depression like they did in the 1930s.
You and I are well-fed. I mean,
yeah,
we're not starving.
And there was a study not long ago about older adults and how this, you know, again, this misconception that we have of them being stingy and just, you know, really strict with their money. Well, it wasn't necessarily the case. The case was that most of these people in the study lived
through this depression,
this financial depression. And unlike people nowadays, they are more aware of the need to save up money. But it didn't
for
have
them, it was more important.
It was more
Man
important.
Might, you know, though that's the opposite of my
social learning context.
He was born in 1930.
You see, but every, again, and then that's kind of like...
He's a New Deal child.
He's
is,
not.
Yeah, not
he was not part of that study, let me just say that.
Not generalizing is like the word of the day, right? Again, yeah, not everybody applies
mm-hmm. no, but, to but the same situation. You know, my parents are baby boomers. And, you know, children of the 40s, and they grew up with Depression-era parents. They didn't go through the Depression themselves, mm-hmm. but boy, did they get lectured every night when they got home to take that 25-cent allowance and put 23 cents of it in the piggy bank,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they forgot that because they were too busy working. They left us in front of the TV, so all we ever got was, like, spend. So my generation got off the hook on that one, but... They got.
We need to go back to
but
that.
But it took two generations, though.
Yes, it did.
Grandparents and your parents' generation.
Well, you know what? Now
it's
getting back too. I mean, I've have a
it
lot
is?
Of. You're hearing a lot of kids trying to, you know, parents living within their means. There was one also again referring back to the internet. You know, family of four living on $40,000.
Oh yes, I
and
saw that.
Living very well, yeah. You know, just. They had to sacrifice some. Yeah,
I was a teacher.
They had to sacrifice a lot of things.
Oh yeah,
but
it's plenty of money. I mean, poverty is like what 20 less 15.
But you know, to what we have been used to, compared to how we've been used to, you know, just you know, everybody having two cars and maybe another car just for the future for the toddler.
TVs
and
every restroom.
Exactly.
You're listening to KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue. The show today is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. And this has been your Top of the Hour, sponsored by...
Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue.
And we're back. We're here today with Julio Camargo. He's a mental health... marriage and family therapist. I tried to do both your titles at once.
But mental health counselor.
And
mental
health
counselor.
Counselor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Working
so
for the county. How many years you've been working for us?
You know, it not that long, though.
Five, six...
Since 06, that makes it
five.
What?
Five.
Yeah, there you go. My math is obviously very...
Did you get your five-year
That's
award
why you
yet?
Went to becoming an MFT.
Yeah, I figured, does this involve
not a school, not a math teacher, not a math teacher.
Geometry.
Maybe it's on your list of numbers.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't find those stats right now. You can tell now.
Well, okay. Yeah. So, okay, all right, so let's take the last half hour of the show and really talk about building... whatever we can build working with oldest adults and what kind of interventions work, what kind of habits work, what kind of life stuff works.
I think keeping them busy, keeping them involved in the community, being involved in activity.
So just like little kids, basically.
Yeah, kind of like an adult daycare. Oh no, there won't be any. I think it's being cut.
Oh yeah, that's right. So what do we do, Julio?
Well, it's
what do you do in your practice when you get people who have impairments, as we were saying, who aren't doing well socially or aren't doing well taking care of their life day to day, missing their job, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stuff do we do?
Well, some of it is similar to what we do just with other populations, like we do with just the regular adult population. You know,
we tell them to get over it and go out and
go out their way. And
but isn't it more difficult with older adults? They've been, you know, that whole saying, they're set in their ways. They're old to change. It's just that's the way they will be.
Old dog, new tricks. Well, there's dichos.
I know that's true.
You know, not necessarily, but there are circumstances that you have to pay attention to and be aware of when that comes about. But yes, and a lot of it has to do with culture. So there's also a different approach altogether right there, because you have very different cultural values. And if you have a 65 and older that lived most of their childhood, adolescent, and early adult life in another country.
Say
Mexico, yeah. Let's just to choose a random country.
Por ejemplo.
Then you're going to have a lot of differences in terms of trying to themselves modify for their own good or adapt to a different cultural value because of...
Well, no. Okay, you know, okay. Let's pretend I'm 65. When I'm 65, I will have invested 65 years in a certain belief system. If you, Mr. Whoever you are, helper guy,
professional,
says,
professional.
"Yo, Scott, you need to drop your belief system because it ain't working for you." You know, it's going to require a lot of, you know, for
that's
65 years, I've woke up every morning and said, this is the way we need to live. This is what's important. And it's going to be hard for me to say, but not today. Right?
Yeah,
that's what's really going to be
difficult, but it works surprisingly sometimes, especially if you have a 65-year-old woman who's still being, maybe not physically, but still verbally and emotionally abused by the still living husband, who have been married for 35, 40 years, and, you know, it still works as good with older adults, because being an older adult doesn't mean that your intelligence diminishes.
Mm-hmm.
They're still very smart, and they have the same needs, very similar needs, and many times the same needs that a 30-year-old younger person does. And a lot of times they're still able to work through therapy successfully and see the changes that they need to make depending on. So that's just an example. But, you know, marriage in Mexico is considered to the death. I mean, it's like, I'm not saying, again, not generalizing, but typically.
Luis Miguel.
Yeah, but typically, you know, you have couples, regardless of their problems, figuring that they have to endure their entire
because
time together, because
you took a marriage vow before, you know,
before God,
and that's it.
Yeah.
They don't believe in divorce, regarding if one of the spouses being abusive, infidelity.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just an example.
Whereas in the United States, we get rid of that other old ex-spouse and just get another one just like it.
Yeah, we don't like the way they load the laundry. We don't like the way they
serial monogamy doesn't imply that your relationship's ever getting better.
They don't know how to cook. That's it.
Yeah.
You're out.
It's just the same thing we deal with changing cars every 10 years, right?
Yeah,
I just go back to the dealer and get a new car.
I still buy station wagons. You know, I'm still buying small station wagons.
You're more old school.
Well, no.
But then you have the other cultures where we older people are looked up for guidance, like I think in Asia, aren't they?
Venerable
yes.
people. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's also the case here. You know, we look up, and we should look up to those people for their experience.
I totally insist my children address me as Venerable Father.
Ah, that's a start. Does it work? Has it worked so far?
I've got some things they need, so yeah, typically. I mean, they laugh when I say it. Does that count?
Well, he is. I mean, Scott can now marry people. he is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But
minister? Minister?
So do elders
ordained minister?
Automatic respect? Yeah. On the side.
So you're like a Jedi master. No longer Never mind.
Get all sorts of honorifics if you want to whip them out. No, so it's being older has its own unique set of things, and the respect thing in an ideal world may be kind of a nice, you know, perk of being older. Not a guarantee, though.
No,
because we live in Homer Simpson land, so
yeah.
You know.
And then there's the other part of it is that, I don't know, I just, for, it's hard. I don't see myself as getting older, or it's just a whole thing. This
you know,
image.
I've been with you for like 10 years. I don't see you getting older either, frankly.
Color my hair, okay? You would see all the gray that I have.
You've definitely discovered the fountain of life, and you're not letting us know.
No. Yeah, she hoards.
Delayed childbirth. But no, it's just, you know, it's so the image of being looking, you know, look at those reality TVs of that family. I'm not going to mention the name, but it's just that family, and it's all fashion and how they look, and they don't leave.
Oh, that family.
Yeah, they don't leave unless they have the perfect hair, perfect makeup on, the clothes. And as the population is getting older, and they see in the mirror as those wrinkles are coming in, and they're no longer a size 2, they're now a size 8, and you know,
my left ankle's
exactly,
a size 2.
Exactly. Just you know, the plastic surgery is becoming more popular. It's more being more common. People are trying to look younger. Even though they're aging, they can't stop the clock.
But you know what? That's an excellent point that you're bringing up, and that I honestly hadn't thought about.
Can't avoid it.
Because it seems to me that it's an issue that's going to come about in our generation
as we grow older. Yes.
Because pop culture and the tube, you know, referring to the TV, the internet era, that's kind of us. And us growing older with those concepts in mind, I think you're absolutely right. It's definitely going to have an impact when we come of age.
Yeah, you can only stretch the skin so much.
Because we don't see 65-year-old people now bring those issues up.
Mm-hmm.
But we probably will.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's a little bit of it that goes back in time. If you think back to your elderly celebrities of yesterday, Dinah Shore and Lena Horne in particular, but Dinah Shore also, were ageless, pretty ladies, and they didn't have plastic surgery back then.
No, but you know what? Here's the difference. Betty White, Sophia Loren. I wouldn't look like Sophia Loren when I'm her age.
Well, and you know,
Betty
White,
they weren't on TV every day, too.
Huh?
They weren't on TV every day.
No, they had a professional team of body people trying to keep in shape, like racehorses or something.
And I don't think Sophia Loren, I don't know, but I don't think she's had plastic surgery.
She does.
No, she strikes me as somebody who's just got it.
Yeah. So.
But that's going to be another element as well. And I think that's an element for people who have the resources, because that's a resource question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Medi-Cal ain't going to pay for nothing, baby. You're on Medicare. You get like
and
old
a
people's
self-image
insurance.
Issue, right?
I mean, they're not going to straighten your nose. They're not going to tuck your baggy eyes or whatever you're.
Well, that's too late for me.
So those people are going to have to
crooked nose.
Adjust and adapt and accept perhaps some of that.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? What give me some interventions here. Do you do cost benefit analysis? Do you sit down with people and say, okay, let's look at the pluses and the minuses? What do older people look at when they do stuff like cost benefit? Yeah.
Well, you nailed it, you know, perfectly, because cost benefit analysis is a perfect example. I mean, you definitely have options on both sides, working with a population of this kind, in doing a cost benefit analysis.
So if I come in and I say, Julio, you know, I'm really sad, I got no friends, and then you say, well, have you thought about going out, or do you go out? And I say, well, no, you know, because my back hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can sit down and say, well, you know, is it worth having friends to put up with a little back pain? Or is it something that you can manage in a different way, you know, Skype or whatever, and start adding stuff up and making decisions based on the calculus, based on the numbers?
Yeah, and, you know, now that you bring up that example, that brings another important point when working with this population. which if the person is suffering from back pain, you want to find out, okay, well, but are you having to put up with this back pain on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there a support system that you have around you that's helping you to move?
Like one of those elastic things you mean with a Velcro?
No.
That's exactly the support system that I was referring to. You read my mind. The friends, is this person in a retirement home? Are there people that this person has met there? Are there relatives that still come about and visit this person and procure this person and see how
are the health needs being met?
Exactly. So now, and that's another point, is this person really bringing up a physical issue, or is there something more of an underlying problem there that may not necessarily have anything to do with the physical and is more of an emotional nature or
so,
of a traumatic nature?
Maybe I feel like I'm older and I'm less attractive and nobody's going to like me because my likability was used to be tied to my attractiveness back when I was younger. And so instead I've got like a bad back somatic thing working so that I have an excuse not to go out because I know if I go out that people aren't going to, man.
Wow.
I should just, what did you even have me here to do a show?
I'm just playing out my future old age.
I know.
This should be.
This is like my excuse.
He's seeing his life.
So I'm an old dude and nobody likes me. Is that a core belief? Do people walk around with that belief? I'm an old dude and people don't like old people.
No. You know what? Maria, you're absolutely right. No. I think it might be a misconception.
No, I think that
it's not.
I think that older people want to still, they still want to contribute to the community, still want to contribute to their family, and they can.
But does the community want them to?
Mm.
That's kind of. And do they perceive that? Do they feel?
I still need my mom.
By the community?
She's 67, and I still need her, and she knows that. She knows that.
Yeah, but that's also kind of coming from a realistic point of view. I don't think, I think it's important we're talking about this topic because it brings about, for example, the SAS program. We are doing something
about
it.
You just mentioned an acronym, unless
senior
you were talking
access,
about like
it's
SASSiness.
It's Senior Access to Supportive Services.
Exactly. There you go. And this program is specifically designed to help people 65 and up that have a mental disorder and that are at risk of becoming homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we're talking about this issue without doing anything about it. Unfortunately, though, that is not the case elsewhere, mm-hmm. Or in general. There's research and there's studies that show that we're definitely very underprepared when it comes to the amount of people that are to come about this age. So we're, at this moment as it is, we're not necessarily preparing the resources.
You threw out the number 14%.
14? That was in 2004.
And we're getting older.
Actually, it was 12% in 2004. I'm thinking we're definitely over 14% now.
All right, but okay, so 14 is a good number. Or 50, 15 is easier because math is better.
Mm-hmm.
Take 15% of the local Imperial Valley population, and those are your old people, probably more in the wintertime, those snowbirds come down.
Mm-hmm.
Snarl up my roads. I already sound like a grouchy old person, don't I?
Yes, you do.
And
I look at them at the positive. I like the snowbirds. They bring the economy here. So.
There you go.
Look at the positive.
Optimism of youth. Okay, but then look at how many of that population of people, that 15% of everybody down here, has symptoms of depression. Look at the ideological data on
older people. You said the depression word, the deep word.
And depression. And now you get a pretty big number. And that big number's walking around here not having a very good time.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we have the means or the resources or the health care or whatever to begin to provide care. I know we've got Julio, who's really smart and cool, but he's only one person.
Yeah, but a lot of people going through that, the D word, depression.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's being masked by medical ailments or health ailments,
stigma.
They're going that their body hurts or, their joints something, but it's really, actually the cost of it is just going through depression.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm estimating 1,200.
How many of those patients
people
are going
over
to
the age of 65 meet criteria for the D word?
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're going through
out
the primary.
10,000,
yeah, they're
yeah.
going
in
through the
community.
Primary physician, going through the primary doctor, and they're going because of medical issues.
Yeah.
But a lot of those medical issues are stemming from the D word.
Well, and I don't think we have mental health support for 1,200 people in Imperial County over the age of 65. And that's just depression. That's not anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's and that's why I'm not involved in mathematics or anything that has to do with that, like I mentioned before. But there's a number that I cannot remember of a study that there was right now that you mentioned people going to their doctor. But I do remember reading the study and it sadly reflecting that a large number of the suicides in older adults happened shortly after they visited their personal care provider. And in other words, that a lot of times...
So personal care providers should just ask as a matter of...
Should just ask as a matter
of... How are you
yeah.
feeling?
Of examination.
What's going on? What's
yeah.
going on in your head? Have you felt
yeah.
like hurting yourself?
No, this is information that was on the National Institute of Mental Health.
Mm-hmm.
I know I read it there, but I don't have the exact numbers. But it just struck me as something so significant because... And, you know, and not to, blame personal care providers, but... I think it's a responsibility of all of us, you know, to follow
because
up on that.
Because we're afraid to ask those questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and just to give you an idea, for example, again, out of every 100,000 people, now this according to information of the National Institute of Mental Health, but out of every 100,000 people age 65 and older, non-Hispanic whites, 15.8% committed suicide in this as of 2004. Then, you know, it's followed by Asian and Pacific Islanders with 10.6, Hispanics at 7.9,
mm-hmm.
and non-Hispanic blacks at 5 for every 100,000. And like I mentioned, I don't know
why.
The exact numbers
yeah.
and why, yes.
Why the difference? Why?
But... a lot of it happened because, yes, like you said, the question wasn't asked,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not, you know, to point any fingers, but to keep in mind that that is something that needs
so
to be asked.
So for every contact you have with somebody older, you ask?
Oh, definitely.
Directly?
Yeah. Don't go
you know,
around
I know
trying
we've
to sugarcoat
I know we've
it.
Had a really good session today, Julio, and it's been a lot of fun, and we've been laughing a lot. But I'm wondering, you know, because it's important to ask this every time, have you had any thoughts, or are you having any thoughts of killing yourself?
Yeah.
Like that, huh?
Just like that.
That was my Julio impression.
Yeah. You know, you can go, yeah, there you go. and it was quite a good one. You missed some of the facial cues, though.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, you don't go around... You know, so feeling a little sad today, you know, it might take you like an entire 45 minutes just to get to the
yeah.
the question. Just, yeah. And people generally,
well
at least
and
in
you
my
know,
experience.
And you know what you sound like? You sound like the parent who wants to sit down and talk to the teenager about sex for the first time.
Yeah.
Like,
the birds and the bees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's
the
like,
birds and the bees. Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, the teenager's been listening to, you know, Knocking Boots music for
uh-huh.
Lord knows how long.
Yeah. And I think there's a huge sense of relief that you just sense or see even when you ask the question, and especially if the person, yeah, is having such thoughts. So it's important to ask it.
Could we do that with all of our older people? I mean, just us kind of our friends and family that are older people. Would that be an okay, you know, obviously it's not, hi, how are you having thoughts of suicide, but would that be kind of an okay kind of check-in thing to do?
I don't see why not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's absolutely, yeah. Especially if you've, you know, if we're talking about a relative, a friend, somebody that's close to you, that you get the sense that something is going on, otherwise you wouldn't be asking the question, or would even be thinking about asking the question. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know, something Maria threw out earlier in her wisdom. She's a smart lady.
Really?
Yeah. Keep them busy. Yes. How often do you use like activity scheduling, mm-hmm. like calendaring, to as an intervention in working mm-hmm. with this population?
A lot of times.
And how does that go? Because you could just do it at home, right? I mean, yeah. This isn't like magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, it does pose a little bit of difficulty. Like we were talking, you know, earlier about just really ingrained beliefs and cultural values in terms of trying to get the person out there to participate, become more of a participant in social outdoor activities. That mm-hmm. becomes a bit more of a challenge. So when that becomes more of a challenge, okay, well then let's do something at home. And that's definitely something that...
So, but what do? Do you just sit down with a calendar and start naming dates and places and times and activities? How does it work?
Like, well, it depends. I mean, obviously, every case is different. But, for example, you can start by something really simple, like trying to get the person to work on actually going to their appointments.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's start with the basic, really basic stuff. You know, you want to, like, almost... think of baby steps, you know.
Okay, so we have essential activities. So things that you need to do to keep up on. If you don't keep up on these things,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
stuff gets bad.
Yeah. You know, we're not going to start with, okay, why don't you start going to this, you know, senior citizens group. And now that might be a bit too much to ask at first. When a person has been isolating for the last...
I mean, but you throw it out there, and if it sticks, it sticks.
Yeah, but that's why I said it depends.
Oh, look, Ma, here's a senior citizens group. Oh, and look, they're all smiling. They're having so much fun. Hey, you want to go check this out? I'll give you a ride.
Dancing, food.
Just like you do with kids. And you can sell it.
You know, or family that reaches out to them, but they don't feel like reaching out to. Okay, then why? And maybe you don't have to go... and visit your, you know, 10 sisters, but maybe there's one that you feel comfortable interacting with. So that's one activity that you want to focus on.
And you could give your 80-year-old person, you could set your 80-year-old person up with a Facebook page, and you could make their friends.
I don't even have Facebook.
Well, you could make their friends, most normal people who have.
I know.
No, their relatives could have Facebook accounts, all of, you know, spread out over the country or in places that they can't travel to anymore or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you could kind of sit with, you know, go over and help your person sign on and help them sit and kind of look at these other people's lives and experience a sense of relationship. Okay, mm-hmm. maybe it's not the real thing, but it certainly can, you know.
But it's a start.
Decent substitute. Yeah. So there's lots of different kind of creative ways to do
or,
this.
Or, you know what, keeping busy. Knitting, learning how to knit, or, you know, just...
A hobby.
Yeah. Learn a hobby, you know, exercise.
Walking.
Exercise is big for the
gardening.
Older adults, isn't it? It's big for everyone, frankly.
Well, you
keeping
know,
active,
I have
walking.
Older adults. A lot of, again, we're talking about... But it reduces health problems.
Keeps you up and about.
Yeah, and there's a lot of 65 people older and up that are very healthy,
mm-hmm.
and they can still
maintain their physical activity.
Yeah, you know, and again, not to generalize, but there's a lot of 20, 30 year olds with physical problems that can't do any exercise. So you have all spectrums.
Yeah,
you know, you don't. Just because we're
where's the physiologist? Because they're going to say, you know, you can always do something. You know how they are, the exercise people.
Well, yes. I mean, you're sitting down and lifting little weights, little mm-hmm. two-pound weights.
Yeah,
or
I can watch TV, okay?
Yeah. I mean, for people who can't walk, you know,
I'm
they
doing
have to
remote control presses or something.
Raising the remote control 10 times
the
a
muscle.
Day isn't necessarily...
Well, and clicking the channel.
The muscle right here from the thumb.
The muscle
know,
the for the thumb. Playing video games.
Video games.
Yeah.
But it for elderly people, because it, you know, the other thing is that the connection between mental health and you've lost career, your career's changed with a sense of loss perhaps, your relationships change with a sense of loss perhaps, and your body changes with a sense of loss perhaps. So if you can forestall or minimize some of your body changes by mm-hmm. managing it in a way that,
but then, you know, the other way, there's so many older adults that are living very fulfilling lives and very, they're active and Some of them are still working.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
At
totally.
80 something. Sometimes it's because they have to work, continue to work, and sometimes it's because they just
they're engaged
want to,
with
yeah,
life.
They want to, you know, part-time jobs, doing stuff, keeping themselves busy.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great positive note, you know, to focus on because yes, you know, to not come across that every 65, we're only talking about those that, you know, those people that need a bit of a push or lost their track at some point, took a little mm-hmm. detour, just, you know, hopefully not a huge long detour, but yes, not mm-hmm. everybody, and most people, as a matter of fact, 65 and up, live very fulfilling, happy lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to point out and to, you know, in doing a cost-benefit analysis.
I'm going to do a survey. I'm going to ask them all.
In doing
are
a,
you
that,
happy?
What side are you on? Yeah.
Like, are you happy? Are you happy?
How's your detour going?
You're not just telling me that, are you? Because I'm going to be 65 someday if I'm lucky. And I want to be happy too.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who retired and they've gone back to work because they just couldn't stand being at home and not doing anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I guess I'll never retire.
Yeah.
I might
on
as
a
well.
Positive note.
Good. You guys can knock yourselves out. I'll be watching TV.
But that's going back. It's just that it's not that they didn't have anything to do probably at home. It's probably that too. And you can only clean so much the house, but just the interaction, the social interaction that was no longer
and
there.
You know, poverty plays out there too, because if you ain't gonna go on no gas money, you ain't going to the senior picnic.
You know what? Yeah. There's another one, a poverty.
Yeah.
You know, what is
it's a big one.
For senior citizens,
old
for
bro.
Older no, for older adults, you know, they're if they're retired or their lack of financial needs, it's their health. You know, the food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says that they're saying that, you know, these fast food places are concentrated mostly in poverty areas because it's
because
cheap,
a dollar
unhealthy.
Dollar menu is
exactly.
the
it's
cheapest
the cheap
source
and
of calories
unhealthy,
in the world.
Yeah, it's cheap and unhealthy food, and you know, people in poverty areas don't have access to fresh vegetables, fresh food, fruits. You know, just fish. Mm.
Yeah.
So that too. Also, that's
yeah, and again that, but surprisingly though. That's where, again, cultural values and even nutritional
so far,
values
because
play
the
a
generation
role.
Before
exactly.
us was not the fast food
exactly.
people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are the fast
we
food
are.
People.
So
you,
it's us.
We
I'm
are.
Saying.
So you have a lot of older adults now that, for the most part, cook their own meals.
Mm-hmm. Without a microwave oven, which drives me up a
yeah.
wall, okay?
yeah.
Grouchy
but
old,
again,
grouchy
oh,
old guy.
Oh, they use that thing that you turn and something comes out. Just checking.
It's one of those, yeah.
Yeah, Grandma, you can do this in a minute. You don't have to heat up the whole house.
I know, your mother-in-law lives with you, so.
Yes. Yeah. It's so fast and it's so easy. It's like
living off of
you
instant
know, and they
soup.
Haven't quite come up with the research yet that says that you're totally destroying the molecular structure of your food and creating some sort of weird health hazard that's going to, like, destroy the world.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. I'd come out in a year or two. Mm-hmm. Give us a couple more years to get used to it.
Yeah. But services are available at Behavior Health if they're needed.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a
they
number?
Are needed.
Do you have
and,
like,
and
contact information?
Certainly. You can call the our main number at 760-482-4000 or call our adults clinic for information, 760-351-2820.
And point, I guess it would be pointing out that, hi, I'm over 65. I heard the show. I caught the podcast where all the lame stuff was taken out. And I'm interested in accessing services today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially
definitely.
The SAS.
Especially the SAS. The
Senior Access to Supportive
there
Services.
There you go. Thank yes. you. I always forget them.
Julio, thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
your
you.
Time. It's always fun to have you on the show yeah. because it takes its own
appreciate
little.
It.
I know. We were all over
gentle
the place.
Yeah,
off topic.
We were all over the place,
yeah.
but we got the number.
Yeah.
Join us again for another fun-filled adventure of Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. Our executive producer is Mario Espinoza. I'm Scott Dudley. And we've got
Maria
Wyatt on
yes,
rocking
Wyatt.
The other mic.
So.
appreciate bringing the show to you. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.